another inspiration from Ken Park at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center. We encourage you to prepare your heart, mind, and soul for a time of reflection, learning, and prayer. If you have any questions, or if you're just looking to chat, check out our website, churchatthecenter.com. And now, here's Ken.
One of the best ways that we can tell someone and show someone we love them is to give them praise. Hear words of praise and affirmation and good work can go a long way to making someone feel loved. Giving praise to God and keeping His commandments is a key way we can show our love for God and for others. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 21, it reads, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." In the Bible, it talks about love in many different verses. Some are as famous as John 3:16, and some are a little less known. Through Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, we can learn to love and why it is important to love. It is important we listen and we follow these examples of love given to us throughout Scripture and ask ourselves, in our everyday lives, do we follow these commandments? Do we love as we're told to by Paul in his first letter in the church to Corinth? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, verses many of us are familiar with. In fact, these were part of my wedding vows to Rachel, and I have a poster of this verse on my wall at home. And it says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Again, that's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And wow, are those powerful words. Words we as Christians need to live by and incorporate into our lives. We can only fully do this, though, through the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the Holy Spirit since He wants us to be filled with His love. Having the Holy Spirit in our lives helps us to have a deeper understanding of God's love for us, and in turn helps us to be able to love God more and more in a way connected to the verse from 1 Corinthians 13. And these words are not only for us to live by, but also part of a bigger commandment from God. You see, in the book of Matthew, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment." Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. You see, our Lord and Savior said that this is the first commandment, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's the first commandment, the first for antiquity. This commandment is older even than the Ten Commandments of the written law. And what makes this commandment first and before all others is it deals with God the Almighty and must therefore take precedence over every other commandment. The other commandments deal with man and man, but this one is with man and the Creator, man and God. Finally, this commandment is first and most important as it reminds us, teaches us, and challenges us to love God more than ourselves. It sets the proper standard as to how we should do that. You see, right here, it's all laid out for us, how to love. why we need to love. The way we are to love each other and God. In these words, Jesus spoke to his disciples, and Paul's words written to the church in Corinth, they remind us on how and why we should love, as there are commandments from Jesus, from God, and not suggestions. Our ability to love each other and the Lord comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with power to create love in our hearts any way He pleases. We need to greet the Holy Spirit and allow Him into our hearts. Now, these teachings are just some of the teachings of love in Scripture, and there are many more. Consider one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so those who believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Taking a deeper dive into this verse and how it relates to love and praise. The verse tells us so much more than words. God is love, actively demonstrated His love through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and through Him offered salvation to all of mankind. The ultimate sacrifice deserves the ultimate praise. I want to pause for a moment and reflect on something a wise man once told me. He said, the fact that we can even approach this conversation is that our God, Father, Son, and Spirit is personal. Because Jesus was incarnate and wants a relationship with us means we can approach the throne and grow in our potential love and relationship. In preparing for this sermon and working through my notes and just doing different readings, I was encouraged by writings of Charles Spurgeon and John Piper and Jennifer Slately, and I hope you too are inspired by what I share today and what was written and spoken about God's great love. So what do these verses teach us about that and about love? Well, the verses in 1 Corinthians give us a definition of what love is. Patient and kind. Well, do we love in a patient and kind way? Think about when you pray. Are you patient with your prayers? Or do you expect an answer right away? Same thing with being kind. Do we extend to others the kinds of love the Lord gives us? The verse also tells us what love is not. It's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not prideful, proud, or self-seeking. Throughout Scripture, there are examples of people who act in these ways and suffer God's wrath. As even though God loves, He is still the Lord over all things. This verse then tells us what love does not do. Does not dishonor, does not keep a record of wrongdoings. It can be so easy in our lives to have a checklist, a balance sheet, an inventory, and keep a record of wrongs, a sheet of things people do, things that people do to annoy us. So easy for us to do that. See, God doesn't do that because God loves us so much. And it can be easy for us in our lives to get caught up in that, to get caught up in having the list or the balance sheet. But the problem with this is, love isn't a game. There's nothing to keep score. God loves us no matter what, and sure does not keep score. If God kept score, we would lose, all of us. None of us would win. And it tells us, what love does not like. Love does not like evil and anger. Rather, the verse tells us what love is. It's honoring, it's good, it's kind, it's protection, it's trust, it's hope, it's perseverance, it's glad, it's happiness, it's modest, it's humble, it's patient, but most of all, love never fails. That's right. God's love for us never fails. No matter how much we follow His word, how much we pray, how little we pray, whether we speed when we drive or whether we follow the speed limit everywhere we go, whether we're always holding doors open for people and are courteous, God's love for us never fails. In Psalm 106, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Forever and ever, as things change, remain the same. Today, tomorrow, all days, yesterday, God's love remains the same. It never fails. So we need to give thanks to the Lord for that. And once we know what love is and how we are to love, we can seek to know how we are commanded to love. This brings us back to the verse from Matthew 22:37-38. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." This verse tells us how we are to love. We are to love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind. And I challenge you to ask yourself, are you praising God and others? Loving God and others with all your heart, soul, and mind? Thinking about it, this really makes us wonder, are we fulfilling this commandment? Even more so, since this is the greatest, the first commandment. You see, it's all laid out here for us. How to love, why to love. And yet we find ourselves rejecting these teachings, rejecting these passages at times. Why do we find ways to let others get in the way of us loving as Christ loves us? Why do we keep making excuses for ourselves to not follow these commandments, to not follow what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to love? My brothers and sisters, dear friends, think of all the distractions that impact our ability to love one another as Christ loves us. Think about how we get distracted from how we're commanded to love, as we were told to love from 1 Corinthians. Think about that for a moment. Think about things like our pride, our arrogance, our egos, our self-righteousness, our attitudes, things that push us and pull us away from God. Television, the internet. All these different things can pull us and push us away from God. The biggest one of all is the enemy. And why do we let these things get in the way? Why do we not love as we are commanded to? Perhaps it's a sense of only wanting God around when things are poorly in our lives. Or it's from our own self-righteousness. Only we know the answers to that. You see, these same things also keep us from praising God and giving praise to God as he deserves. Again, in Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." We're challenged there, commanded to give praise, to give thanks. And how often do we? How often, even when we pray, is it just prayers of, "Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this." Instead of, "Lord, thank you for giving me this." Or, "Lord, I thank you for all you do for me and my family." God tells us throughout Scripture what we need to do and how we are to love, how we can obey the greatest commandment. We need to be less in ourselves, less selfish, and more reliant on God. We need to put God in Christ first and follow the example of Christ. An acronym I like to remember is JOY. Jesus, others, yourself. Jesus, others, yourself. JOY. And when we love God more than earthly things, such as money, food, oneself, sports, music, we can in turn love in a more Christ-like manner. We can love in a more patient way, a more kind way, a more gentle way, a more thoughtful way, passionate, caring way. And to do this, we need to change our outlook on life, our perspective. We need to go from putting ourselves or other things first and put God first. And my friends, this is the great thing, God is there waiting for us because he loves us so much. God is just waiting for us, reaching out to us to say, love me above all else. It's just waiting there for us to take. And we don't, and all we have to do is accept that, because God is willing to accept us for who we are and with open arms. There's no conditions on God's love. It's unconditional. We just need to say, God, we love you, I'm sorry, and I am going to put you first in my life. As we follow the commandments and love God with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our minds, we can love in a kinder, more patient, more truthful way. And these acts of love do not need to be grand gestures either. I remember when I was a kid, a story, the story of the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady wins the race. We don't need to change like that. It's not an instant thing. It can take time. But we need to make that change, and we need to make progress. Loving in a more God-like way. Loving others above ourselves, but loving God above all else. Because it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. This isn't a 100-meter dash. We're not going to race through this like an Olympic track star. We're going to go at our own pace, at our own speed. And God knows that. Knows this is a marathon for us and not a sprint. A long journey of progression. A changing perspective to a more positive way of thinking and loving God, each other, and oneself. Our neighbors, our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is time we recognize how we are to follow this great commandment, and how to make love as Christ loves us, or how to love as Christ loves us. The Lord and Scriptures, they tell us how to love. We just need to make sure we authentically live that out. It has to be authentic. It has to come from the heart. It can't just be something we do for the sake of doing. It can't be fake. Loving others described in today's passage isn't going to be easy, and it isn't always easy. But God is with us each step of the way and gives us the tools to be able to do it. Just as God loves us, we need to make sure we treat others and love others in a God-honoring way, while remembering that none of this is possible if we don't rely on God and the Holy Spirit to guide and mature us. In closing, none of this is possible without the Holy Spirit. All the work we do, the love we give and receive, becoming a more loving person, all from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Praying for transformation and empowering work of the Holy Spirit is a good place to begin. Reading our Bibles, especially Jesus' teaching, is another avenue we can take. Praising others and God for the good things provided in our life can be a great step to changing one's mind as well, mindset as well. A way to make sure that I am loving as I follow the commandments and the verses from 1 Corinthians, and I'll go back to the acronym JOY, Jesus, others, and yourself. Loving Jesus above others and yourself. This led me to do a self-diagnostic, a reality check, if you will. And I realized that times I've let my pride or my ego or my attitude and other things stop me from loving as I should. So to each and every one of you, I am sorry I have not loved as called to love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, or from Matthew, or from the book of John. And I encourage each of you to do a self-diagnostic and examine how you are fulfilling these commandments. And so to anyone watching, listening, if I have let you down, if you feel I have not loved you in the way described in 1 Corinthians or throughout this sermon, please let me know and we can begin to mend that bridge. Just before we pray, I want to leave you with this benediction. If we were to begin to increase our upholding of the greatest commandment, we will not then also be better equipped to love others in a more God-honoring way. From 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16, verse 14, do everything in love. Let us pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and that you will receive us with open arms. Lord, we are so thankful that we can pray to you. We can begin to have a more authentic relationship with you, that you will allow us to love you, and that we can work with you, that your Holy Spirit will work in us and through us, so we can love others as you command us to, and we can love you above all things. Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, my dear friends in Christ, that you can walk with us and help us to love each other and you the way we are supposed to, that we can be loving one another in a more God-honoring way. Lord, we pray these things, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this inspiration from Ken Park. For more information, visit our website, churchatthecenter.com. God bless.